This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, and listeners, as many of you know, each Monday we have a roundup of what's new to watch, listen to, or read. Today we're going to offer a rundown of the best books to keep your eye out for this fall and oncoming winter, as well as a peek into the new year. To accomplish this task, we turn to Maris Kreitzman. She's the host of the Maris Review, a literary podcast, and is also a books contributor for Vulture. Maris, nice to see you again.
Nice to see you.
And listeners, we know a lot of you have the day off today, so we're going to invite you to call in and tell us what you're reading, what you really like, what's got you excited. The number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. What are you reading that you love? What have you read recently that you love? What recommendation would you like to make? 212-433-WNYC. All right, we're going to start with your list, Maris.
Yes.
For the Booker Prize finalist, Deborah Levy,
yes.
It's called The Man Who Saw Everything. Here's a quote describing it. Electrifying novel about beauty, envy, and carelessness.
Indeed.
Why is this book on your list?
Because it is 200 pages, but it feels like it covers a huge amount mm-hmm. of time. And it's about a man who goes to East Germany in 1988. He's an academic, so he's going there to study. Mm-hmm. And it becomes clearer and clearer that the story he's telling has some holes in it. And
the old unreliable narrator.
The old unreliable narrator, but in an entirely new way. And I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay.
But this takes it to a new level, I think.
I mean, it's interesting. I don't want you to spoil, but I've been reading a lot of unreliable narrators.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a very 2019 thing.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. In what way is this different? Can you tell me without spoiling it?
The second part of the book takes place in 2016. That might give you a little bit of a...
Gotcha. All right. So is this our anti-hero narrator, Saul Adler?
Saul Adler.
What are his characteristics?
He's stunningly beautiful. He has gorgeous hair and big blue eyes. And he's also, for the man who saw everything, he's a little narcissistic.
All right. I know that some people who like her work, they find the book sometimes tough to decode, like you really have to get in there. Is that the case here?
You definitely have to figure it out as you go along. And I like being a little disoriented. And then she provides you with enough clues so that you can make it work.
It's called The Man Who Saw Everything,
yes,
by Deborah Levy. We're going to give out the phone number one more time. 212-433-9692. 212-433-WNYC. We're looking for book recommendations. Anything that you've read recently that you love, something you're looking forward to. We love to hear from our very well-read readers, listeners, I should say. Sarah M. Broom's memoir, The Yellow House. I've seen so much press on this book. Where is it set?
In New Orleans.
Oh, I can understand that.
Yes.
So what is her family, what is the family saga?
The family saga involves her mother purchased a house in what they used to call East New Orleans in the 1960s. And Sarah Broom's 12 older brothers and sisters lived there.
12 older brothers and sisters, okay.
And so she really goes into their history and talking about all the things that happened before she was born. But then, of course, it leads up to the fact that their home was literally sinking from the second it was built, and therefore, once Katrina hit, it's not there anymore.
Wow. So what do you think sets this apart from other family memoirs?
I think Sarah just writes beautifully. And I love the way she investigates her own family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's full of family photos, but it's a bigger idea for readers who might.
I have a question for you, not specifically about this memoir, but memoirs in general.
Yes. 'Cause
you read everything.
Yes.
How do you feel about accuracy in memoirs? Because there's this long post on Goodreads about this particular book that calls into question, like, it should be so-and-so Boulevard, not Avenue. Just some details in there. And I don't know if it's a crank or what, but I'm sort of curious how do you feel about memoirs and accuracy?
Yeah, I think it's impossible to remember every single thing that happened accurately.
Mm-hmm.
and part of a memoir is constructing your own reality.
Right.
That said, blatantly disregarding the facts is never great. But I think there's a creative license for memoirists.
The name of that one is called The Yellow House by Sarah M. Bruhn. All right. The Other Americans is a new novel. Who is this by?
It's by Leila Alami. And this is also a National Book Award finalist for fiction.
Okay.
And it's set in the Mojave Desert, and it's told from multiple points of view. It's a sad story.
Okay,
it's about a Muslim man who is the victim of a hit-and-run accident, and the people in his life and around him and how they react. It's a book about, The Other Americans is about the people that we don't usually think about, or we don't think about enough. The ones who might be more screwed over than the rest of us.
Do we hear from a lot of characters? It seemed that way as I was sort of... Is it confusing at all, or can you keep...
No, you can... It's pretty easy to follow, but and the characters are distinct enough that I think...
Let's take a couple of calls. We've got Shindy, who is calling us from Brooklyn. Hi, Shindy. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, good morning.
What are you reading?
So I just finished reading this book called Night Women by Marlon James, and I'd never heard of that author before. I heard him interviewed on your show. I think he was longlisted for the Booker Prize.
Right, yeah.
So I went to Amazon and I Googled him because he sounded like a really interesting guy. I'm from the Caribbean as well. And I saw that Night Women had really high reviews, and I bought it. And what can I say about it? It's a really riveting story. Like, it's a page-turner. And my friends ask me, like, do you recommend it? And I kind of hesitate because it's so raw in its realness. Like, the language is very tough and raw. Like, the violence is really palpable. Mm. But then the humanity of the characters is so well developed. They're very complex, and it's very believable. Like, it's not trite at all. Like, it's full of surprises with really complex, believable characters, but very, very difficult.
Shindy, I love that, first of all, that you were enterprising enough, you heard an author, you went and researched, and then you found the book for yourself.
Beautiful.
I love that about you. Shindy, thank you for calling.
Let's
check in with Margie from Brooklyn. Oh, did I hang up on Margie? Oh, I think I hung up on Margie. So Margie, call back. Sorry about that. Hey, Valerie from Scarsdale. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Hi, my pleasure.
What are you recommending?
I've been doing a lot of nonfiction reading lately, and I found a book called The Suspect. And the subtitle is long, but it's essentially about Richard Jewell and the Olympic Park bombings in 1996.
Oh, a movie's coming out about this, I think, very soon.
Exactly. It's based upon this book, which was written by a journalist, Kevin Salwin, who was with the Wall Street Journal for years and years, and Kent Alexander, who was the U.S. attorney at the time that was involved in much of the case. So it's really meticulously reported, and it's incredibly intriguing. And not only does it tell the story of Richard Jewell and the events that happened from the perspective of the details, but it also really gives you a sense of the humanity of the characters and the individuals who make up that story. There's like three protagonists' points of view. And it's incredibly interesting, not only from that perspective, but also has to how it relates to what's going on in the world now in terms of, you know, a story that was created. First, he was a hero because only two people were killed and 111 were wounded. But it could have been much more if he hadn't reported it.
Yeah.
But when his life was just turned around because they needed to have a suspect to sort of wrap up the story. I'm on the phone, honey. I had to wrap up. They had to find someone to blame so that the Olympic Games could go on, among other things. And it let the true bomber roam free. So it really, it taps into the zeitgeist of today's world, as well as really creating a fascinating story and characters. So I highly recommend it. It's called The Suspect, an Olympic Bombing, the FBI, the Media, and Richard Jewell, the Man Caught in the Middle, and it's by Kent Alexander and Kevin Salwin.
Valerie, thank you so much for calling. You better go. Somebody was looking for you. You better go. Go deal with that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Allison. Bye.
Margie in Brooklyn, 1,000 apologies for hanging up on you. Margie.
Hi, I'm glad to be calling you from the great state of Brooklyn. My book is Waking in Havana by Elena Schwalski. It's a memoir of AIDS and healing in Cuba. And it traces Elena's life when she leaves her young child when she's 25 in the States and goes to Cuba to help the government get going and the country get going, and does a work detail, but stays to do work on AIDS. Starts the first Cuba AIDS quilt with other people there, and it's a terrific read, really strong, really smart, what it means to grow to consciousness as a woman, and great characters. You can't put it down. It's just the best.
Margie, thank you so much for calling, and I'm sorry I hung up on you before.
Hey, it happens. I love your show.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Our number is 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. My guest is Maris Kreitzman. She is host of The Maris Review. It makes me laugh.
I like a pun.
A new literary podcast. She's also a books contributor to Vulture. We're doing our books reviews and previews. Of what you heard, did they all sound on point?
They sure did.
Yeah, right?
And the Marlon James is a knockout.
You have on your list someone who is sitting in our green room, I believe.
Yes.
The name of the book is The Great Pretender.
Susanna Cahalan is so remarkable. She wrote a 2012 memoir about how she had a neurological disease that caused her body to attack her brain. And that book is amazing.
That is an amazing book, yeah.
But now she's back. Because when she had this illness, she had to question her own sanity. And she noticed even when people were thinking that maybe the diagnosis would be something in the schizoaffective disorder kind of realm, she became a second-class citizen almost immediately. And so she uses this experience that she's had and tells the history of a group of healthy people and a psychiatrist who led them in the 1970s who checked themselves in to mental hospitals so that they could discover firsthand how mental illness diagnoses are arbitrary at best.
And how difficult it is to get out of these hospitals and the way people put certain value judgments on you once you're inside.
Yes.
So we're going to talk to, actually, she's our guest in the next hour, so we don't give too much away. Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Please call in and give us a couple of recommendations. Okay, Say Nothing, A True Story of Murder and Memory in Northern Ireland.
Yes, this is one of my favorites from 2019. It's from, I think, earlier in the year, but I just got to it, and it just... I was mesmerized. It's a history of the Troubles in Northern Ireland that centers around a murder that took place in Belfast in 1972. But then the book pans out and you get to meet all of these characters who were idealistic.
Okay.
Perhaps not always wise. And he really takes you through the IRA and some of its most notorious criminals. And it's one of those books that feels like a thriller, even though it's not.
Even though it's real life. Say Nothing, A True Story of Murder and Memory in Northern Ireland. Let's get in a slide and a couple more calls. Lisa's calling us from Red Bank. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. I am reading, I haven't finished it, All of Again by Elizabeth Strout, who wrote Olive Kittredge, and I don't want to give things away, but I love it because it's so real. It's all about families and the trials and tribulations. It's about a woman, Olive, who is moving forward but takes two steps forward and one step back often. And all the characters so far seem to be doing that. And I just love it.
Thank you so much for calling in, Lisa. Richard from Manhattan. Richard, can you tell us what you're listening, you're reading to?
I just finished a wonderful book called Republic of Lies by Anna Merlin. It is an exhaustive and very personal account of conspiracy theorists. She does it historically. She's gone to conventions with these people. She's very fair about it. It's just fascinating, and she's a wonderful, wonderful writer.
Richard, thank you so much for calling. I want to get to a couple more on your list, Maris. The Swallows by Lisa Lutz, a thriller set in Vermont at a boarding school. The Washington Post proposed this question about it. Can a thriller also be a feminist social critique?
Hell yeah. it's one of those novels that... It's like 400 pages, mm-hmm. but it's so fast-paced you can read it really quickly. And it kind of explores the dark urban legends that you might hear about what prep school kids get up to. There's a little Zuckerberg in college kind of stuff going on. And there are a lot of pissed off young ladies at the school. And it is delightful to see them get some hard-earned revenge.
I read one review that said it was a little bit graphic.
It is.
So we should be forewarned. If you just know, just know.
Correct.
Let's look to 2020 real quick. You chose a memoir, Uncanny Valley, by Anna Wiener. It chronicles her time transitioning from a publishing career to a new job in the tech world.
And so I also have had some experience in both worlds, mm-hmm. and it really is a culture clash to go from media where paying your dues for decades is something you can do it all your life, to the tech industry where 23-year-olds are handed the keys to the castle and are on their way to being billionaires. And Anna has the right perspective to put it all to make sense of it all, and she basically says that with great power mm-hmm. comes great responsibility, but spoiler alert, some people in the tech world are not responsible at all.
Imagine that. So it's already been optioned for a film. All right, this one isn't out until March 2020, but you're very excited about We Ride Upon Styx.
Yes, by Quan Berry. It's a novel that's set in the 1980s, and it's about a high school field hockey team that gets involved with witchcraft because they so desperately want to win. And so it's this kind of perfect blend of aesthetic and narrative pleasure.
It's the book was described as a comic tour de force.
It sure is.
So it's funny.
It's very funny, and a little angry and a lot of fun.
Oh, that's a good combo. You have me at that combo. Maris Kreizman is host of The Maris Review, a new literary podcast. She's also a books contributor for Vulture. Thank you so much for spending so much time on these reviews and previews with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. I will meet you at the top of the hour.